Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio program, coming to you from our flagship station, KNTS 1220 AM in beautiful San Francisco, California. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dino Orlando. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I escaped from prison.
You did. He's out on the run. Catch him. Hello, Dino. How are you?
I'm doing well, Scott.
You got some cool news coming up for us later today?
Yes, I do.
It's going to be pretty fun stuff. Hey, the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, DVD XDV, the coolest software to convert your content from a DVD back to something you can use it with. Cool stuff there. MCE Technologies, Firm Tech, and our media partners of Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, and the Digital Production Buzz. So how's everybody doing today?
Oh, good to be out of prison, man.
Yeah?
It was horrible. Yeah, I could have made the show last weekend, but I had to do some family-related thing, and I wound up being just sick to my stomach, sitting around a table with lots of food with heads on it. I mean, just being sick and not feeling good and then having a bunch of plates of food with heads on it show up at your table was just,
what nightmare. Kind of things with heads on it?
Well, you know, it's a fish or a lobster. You got to have the head on it too. It's got to look at you while it's sitting at your table.
Wasn't the whole Indiana Jones Temple of Doom thing, right? With the monkey brains and all that.
Oh no, that was dessert, man.
Actually, it was dessert in that movie too.
Yeah, so it was dessert, man. We had that for dessert, and that just sent me over the edge. It was scary stuff.
Oh, dude.
Well, welcome back.
Yes. Oh well, it could be worse.
Yeah, I could imagine
you could be
I could be on a PC right now. It could be worse.
Yeah, we have a cool show lineup today.
Yes.
We do.
Oh, we have good stuff.
Yeah, of course, we have our digital production Buzzmeister coming up later in this hour. Philip Hodgetts doing the post news. Andy Shallert with his Mac design out of the box tip that we have a pretty cool tip today. Little Sammy Levin with cool Mac picks. We're going to talk about some of the cool new Mac products of the week. We're going to have Dan Steinhardt, Dano, the marketing manager for Epson America. They've got a brand new printer.
Oh, this is not just a printer. This is the printer.
This is
the thing that you have to have.
They have a brand new, Epson has these devices that are for storing digital photos and for viewing photos on them. A handheld device for dumping photos from your digital camera into this device, but it plays MP3s, does all kinds of stuff. So they have a couple new versions of that. They're the Print Academy.
Right.
They're relaunching the Print Academy.
Yeah.
Got some cool new stuff.
Yeah.
With this brand new 3800 printer.
Oh, yeah, talk about it. Talk about it. This thing is just insane. We got to talk about it later.
So that's cool.
It's insane.
Dina's got news. What do you got coming up? Anything cool?
Oh, a lot of things cool this week. Shall I tell you one?
If you want to give us a little tease, it would be cool, I guess.
All right. Well, this is not, I think a lot of people know about this, but Apple and U2's lead singer have teamed up again. This time they introduced the Product Red iPod Nano. Details on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Cool.
I think everybody knows about that.
This is not a protest Nano.
No, it's for a good cause. The whole red thing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to talk about it later. There was, some stuff, we talked about this earlier, Now, if you don't have a red iPod,
they think
you're a slime ball.
Because you didn't help the people.
What was the headline?
The headline was, wow, you got a blue iPod Nano, you insensitive jerk.
Right.
So better get out that can of spray paint and spray in that thing if you got the wrong color, because now it's not cool.
I like the blue one.
I think they're all cool. I think every single one of those colors is amazing. I wish all iPods had that aluminum skin around them. They're just
you never
nice,
know.
Durable, great.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
In our second hour, of course, we're going to have Dean Orlando doing the Inside Mac Daily News. And we're going to have Les Perkins, Hollywood DVD producer, insider guy that's done all kinds of cool stuff.
Well, you probably have, everybody in the audience. If you've bought a Disney DVD or really if you bought a good DVD, chances are pretty good that Les had a hand in it.
Yep. Yeah, so this is pretty cool stuff. So we're going to get sort of a feel what it's like to produce these. We're not just making a DVD and iDVD for the family. We're talking this is stuff they make millions and millions of. And
oh, yeah.
It's a pretty big job, and he's a hardcore Mac head.
Yes.
You got to love it, baby. So this is cool stuff. So we got a great show lineup for everybody. Like I said, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program here live on KNTS 1220 AM. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out over at micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister, and we're going to talk about all the things going on in the land of professional prosumer production, post-production, and distribution. How you doing, Philip?
I am terrific, Scott. I would talk about the Google and purchase of YouTube, but it really doesn't have a lot of effect on professional video.
It doesn't, does it?
Not really.
I mean, it's
not like production people were putting their material up on YouTube for sale or for...
You know what's a great topic, though, Philip, about you bring up the whole YouTube thing?
Well, I wrote a blog article about a month, 6 weeks ago, confidently predicting that nobody in their right mind would buy YouTube.
And if you had invested as a VC in that company, you would. I mean, it was like a Sequoia made like 100 to 1 or something like that on their dollars for that company.
There was $11.5 million VC money went into it.
And yeah, it was more than that.
Presumably, they got about half the company for that, so they probably got about 800 back.
Yeah. That's a deal, man. So it's like basically 1 to 800. I can't remember the math.
No, 11 to 800. That's
11 to 800. That's
75 to 1 or something.
75 to 1. Yes, huge. Huge. It's like we'll take that.
Nobody's actually got any money back yet. It's only going to be Google stock.
Well, yeah, but that's better than money these days.
Well, it can only go one direction from here, and that's down.
Yeah.
Although it went up $6 over the week, which means that they made an additional $6 billion worth of market capitalization, and they're going to use $1.65 billion in shares to pay out YouTube. So they're already like 400% up on the deal.
Yeah, if you go to mediocrefilms.com, they have a little Greg Benson. He's trying to pitch to sell his Mediocre Films site for $1.7 billion. Go check it out.
Well, surely he should be a little bit less ambitious than that because he is only going after mediocre.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's a hell of a site, you know.
Now, Philip, question for you. A lot of people would like to put their videos, you make a nice little video up and you've edited it up in iMovie or Final Cut or whatever, okay?
Yep.
And I want to put my video on YouTube. Now, YouTube takes video and turns it into a flash movie. But we've noticed that...
Turns it into an old-style flash movie, not even the best that Flash can do.
Right. So here's the deal. And if you want to do these things... What is the best way that you think in production-wise to submit your stuff to YouTube so you have a quality-looking movie? Because if you take something that's already encoded for an iPod and then upload it as some kind of MPEG 4H264 or whatever it is to YouTube, it doesn't look as good as it could.
The ideal way would be that you carefully tweak it to exactly the Flash 7 specs that they're working with. That's the very old-fashioned Sorenson Spark codec, and it's never going to give great results compared with the much more modern Flash 8 onto VP6 codec. So you really don't have a lot of control. It's always going to be a case of recompressing something already compressed. So the only thing you can do to protect yourself is to encode at the size that they're going to scale it to anyway, which is 320 by 240. And do it to the maximum bandwidth that they will allow. Use H.264 because of the undoubted quality that's there. It's one of the better quality codecs you can use on the market at the moment. And it's a free one on the market, so we like that. You encode to H.264 and up to the 100 megabyte limit. Make it, 99.5. Doesn't matter whether it's 2 minutes or 4 minutes or 1 minute. Use as much quality as you possibly can in that. Just go with unlimited, and if that doesn't give it to you, if that goes over the 100 meg mark, pull it back a little bit. Until you just get it right, just under the 100 meg limit that YouTube will allow, and that will give you the potential for the maximum quality. It's still going to pull it down a lot because Flash 7 is just way worse quality than H.264, and you're never going to get there with that.
Right, right. Well, there you go. There's a nice little tip, though, to make your YouTube
look better. I think everybody is trying to get their content up into YouTube because it's just a major you know, free, easy way of getting getting free bandwidth.
If you've got an independent film or a project you're trying to get off the ground and you don't have your video up on your trailer up on YouTube and linked into your MySpace page, you are just missing an opportunity.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. This is so true.
I did write a blog article yesterday, my rethink on this is why, now that they've actually gone and bought it, why it may actually make sense.
We'll have to go look at that.
Yeah, yeah. That's, we'll still have to figure out why.
PhilipHodges.com.
Yeah. $1.6 billion, though. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you consider that each of the networks get something like $5 to $6 billion a year in gross advertising revenue. That means there's over $20 billion a year in advertising revenue that's got to go somewhere as it migrates away from the networks and the cable stations. So, you know, $1 or $2 billion a year could leak to Google on aside videos that have deals with the copyright owners that says you won't sue me, but we'll split the revenue on stuff that infringes your copyright.
Yeah, see, I just hope this is the start of the next .com boom. You know, it's like it's gonna rock, man. Time to buy into the stock market, man. It's gonna go nuts. It'll just be like there'll be YouTube, MeTube, us tube, everything tube is gonna be coming out.
So. Yeah, and just before we've sort of run out of time, I'd like to mention a little site for some new utilities. I mean, I know utilities aren't glamorous like a YouTube purchase, but utilities are things that we use to get our work done a lot. The little things that ease little corners in the production business, and there's a new utility site out of the Netherlands. A friend, Edit B, a small production boutique production
house. We have to explain that. That's Holland for Americans.
That's Holland for Americans. Okay.
Code name. Like, what is that? Oh, Holland. Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for translating. Video Tool Shed has little things like, you know, an AL cleaner for Avid, a linear time code logger, a reader, a recut editor so it can just quickly cut. Little things like that, video macro for automating workflows. No, nothing's terribly expensive. Nothing's terribly big. And these are the tools that ease the day-to-day life of a video post-production person.
Wow, that's great.
So it's videotoolshed.com. You'll find them there. And Red Giant have upgraded a lot of their plugins to be Intel compatible, as have Pixel Farm. Some of their projects have gone, their PF Track, PF Clean, PF Match are all gone universal, and the rest of their projects will. Except that they haven't gone universal. They've got optimized PowerPC and optimized Intel versions. Separate development paths.
I just haven't gotten the two things to come together in one binary. It's like, there's another company that's doing that. I can't remember who, but yeah, there's a couple of companies that just can't get it to come together. Like, you know, put it together, ship it.
And I'd also like to mention Glue Tools have upgraded their Cineon and DPX QuickTime components. They will have the guy from Cineon from Glue Tools on the Digital Production Buzz this coming Thursday and talk more about this. But they allow any QuickTime application to read or write the Cineon and DPX formats. And these are high-end image formats used in digital intermediate workflow and effects workflows.
Basically, that's how movies are done today, is they scan them into a computer, and then it's cut from individual pictures. So it's no longer there's like people.
They're very big on single image flows. Although this one's cool, is it can open up a folder of images and make it appear like a QuickTime movie, which is great for Final Cut.
Yes.
Well, that is tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Final Cut really doesn't handle image sequences particularly elegantly. It's designed for movies, and that's what it works well with.
There we go. We love the movies. Philip, yes. Thank you so much for all that great information. You can find out more about Philip's program over at digitalproductionbuzz.com. This is Thursday evening, 6 to 7 p.m. live on the web, or you can get it at a podcast over at iTunes or apple.com/iTunes. Philip, thank you so much.
Thank you.
There we go. The Digital Production Buzz. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, the coolest tips from the coolest graphic guy around. We'll be right back.
Go Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
My systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney, that does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by DVD XDV, the coolest software to take content off a DVD you've created and pull it back off and stick it onto QuickTime or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even your Aldo Nova CD.
You were listening
to
Aldo Nova. It starts out with the, like, you know, the big helicopter,
yeah,
laser beams shooting off, and then I love that part. It's just like, just go, oh, that's so cool. When you know, it's like, you know, when that first came out, now it's like, oh man, that's cheesy. That's really horrible. That's like the worst thing you ever heard.
But if you got, like I said, content on a DVD and you want to pull the stuff off and reuse it, whatever. All you need is DVD XDV. They got a brand new website. It's very cool. They got a new version of DVD XDV Pro. Just go check them out over at DVDXDV.com. Right now, we're here with Andy Shallett back from Hawaii. He's back on the mainland, and he's got a pretty cool tip this week. Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Great. Or should I say aloha?
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Yeah, we missed you last week, Brad. I was talking all about pages.
Cool.
And I know you're a big fan.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's been going on in the world, but just before I left, I saw two of my friends, graphic designers, and they both had splints on their hands, and they were complaining about RSS, I guess, not the RSS that you find on the web, but RSS repetitive. What is it called?
Strain syndrome.
Stress syndrome.
It's repetitive stress syndrome. Yeah, that's right.
I've been working in this field for over 20 years, and the only time that I've gotten it was when I was not positioned right at my desk. And so the tip this week is just how you should situate your desk and how you should situate your workspace so that you don't have this. Most people use their mouse the way they do. They position it right next to their keyboard. Am I right?
Yeah.
You're guilty of that. Well, that's going to bend your elbows and your wrist in such a way that you're going to end up, after a while, with repetitive stress syndrome. If you, on the other hand, put your arm straight out, and that's where your monitor should be, from where you're sitting at your desk. So that's the tip of your finger should be where your monitor should be. That's also where your mouse should be.
Really?
Because if you lay out your hand, and when I work, and I'm working many hours during the day with this mouse, the only movement should really be at my fingertips with the mouse, not with my wrist and not with my elbow. So if my elbow to wrist are laying flat on the table, I'm not going to have that problem.
So we just need the brain implant that controls the keyboard and the mouse, and then we're cool. Then we'd have like repetitive brain syndrome or something.
Yeah, but Scott's the only one I know who has that. Everybody else, we have to work with a mouse.
Yeah, well, see, I'm looking for the upgrade, Andy, where I can plug that in, my brain and the subconscious can do work, and then I can sleep. Okay.
And how is that different from what you're doing now?
Not much.
Yeah, Scott lives on about three hours of sleep a month.
By the way, before I
set myself up good for that.
I just have one quick tip that ties into what Philip was talking about,
yeah,
5 minutes ago. You know how you were talking about how to best load up things onto the web with the video and everything?
Yep.
If you want to get the message out and you've got that video set up for 320 by 240, and you put that onto a mini web page, if you're in Safari, do Command-I from Safari, and automatically it'll open up Mail, and you've got your web page in as an HTML email. So you can actually send out your video that way, and it'll ping the server rather than your email. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's really pretty cool.
That's
wow.
A cool little graphics tip. Just an idea of sending, because everybody's complained about how to send HTML emails in on the Mac anyway. It's very simple, actually. It's a hidden little trick in Safari. If you do Command-I on any web page that you've got, it's going to open up and put it in as an HTML email.
Wow. Now, what about from Dreamweaver? Can I do that from Dreamweaver or something?
Well, what you do is make it up in Dreamweaver.
Oh, make it up in Dreamweaver, and then
do the preview to browser, and then send that.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. I could never figure out how to do that. That's awesome.
But I would suggest that you put it up on a server first, only because when the person opens the email, it pings your server, and you don't want it to go to your computer.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Good stuff.
That's an extra tip. So that's two for one this week. How's
Whoa,
that?
Cool stuff. Hey, Andy, thank you so much.
This is Bob, Dr. Mac Levitis. If you need troubleshooting, training, advice, or technical support for your Mac, we can help. We can resolve most Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively, and we guarantee it. Plus, our cool internet-enabled remote control software lets us work with you no matter where in the world you happen to be. For more info or to schedule an appointment, visit www.boblevitis.com or give us a call at 408-627-7577.
To coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. These places to get a brand new iPod Red, or you can get a MacBook, MacBook Pro, whatever you need.
Or you get a blue one if you're an insensitive jerk.
Yeah,
you know,
there we go. Jerk. What do you if you get a green one?
Yeah, then you're
I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to go in there.
That's crazy.
You're off the entire color spectrum. You're 180 degrees from red now.
Oh, no.
You're in big trouble.
Yeah, so all the cool stuff going on over at MCE, they got upgrades, RAM, you name it, hard drives. They got the brand new, you missed last week.
Yeah.
A brand new deal to put an extra hard drive in your PowerBook.
Oh.
You could put 100, you could have 300 gigs in your PowerBook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard the show. I actually didn't watch the show. That is crazy, yeah.
Crazy stuff. So check it out over at MCE Tech. That's mcetech.com. And coming up here later in the program, we're going to have Dina Orlando, our host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. But right now, she's here with us to tell us what we have to look forward to.
Thanks, Scott. Bob Dylan's Modern Times album topped the charts. Find out why it may not have happened without Apple's help on the Inside Mac Minute Headline News.
Very cool. Great stuff there. And right now we're here with Sam Levin, the purveyor of cool Mac picks. Hello, Sammy. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Speaking of colored stuff, you know, you can get a color PowerBook or, excuse me, MacBook Pro from our friends from Colorware PC. I got one, you know.
Yeah, the question I got, though, does it get scratched and does the color wear off?
No. It never wears off. Yeah, it will scratch, so you got to be careful, but you got to be careful with any MacBook or MacBook Pro anyway, but you can get anything you want, and I can't wait. I'm going to send in my iPod. They're going to color it for me. So
you can have a red one now. You won't be an insensitive jerk.
I don't want to. I want you guys to pick the color. We should do it. I'm thinking it's called Dragon and Envy Green.
Ooh.
Anyway, that's color of our PC. Listen, the case of the week, you know, I told you I wanted to feature this, and I keep talking about this. The guys from iFrogs have come out with another extension to their iPod case called Tadpole, and they're really focusing on the kid market for iPod users. And essentially, it's the half the shape of what a steering wheel would be looking like, and you stick your iPod inside of it. It's made of a form-fitting silicone rubber, and it's very colorful. It covers the entire iPod, and basically kids can grab hold of it on each end as if it's like a steering wheel, and it's called the Tadpole. I think it's really cool. Some people think it's kind of weird, but they're targeting a market that hasn't been served yet, especially with all those videos that Apple's pushing on iTunes. So now with that, they're giving us some certificates. This week, if you email us, Scott, I want you to tell our listeners which email to email us. The 10th emailer, if they email us iFrogs, I-F-R-O-G-Z, we will give them a free iPod skin of their choice, and they will get a certificate, and they get to do it all themselves for free. And we're going to do another one next week. So, Scott, what's that email they should email it to?
Radio@insidemac.com.
Okay, that's a 10th email, and you have to say in the subject, iFrogs. So check them out at iFrogs, I-F-R-O-G-Z techtoolpro.com. A lot of other cool stuff that I'm going to feature when I get it, hopefully, especially from Griffin. We're still waiting for a Griffin stuff, Tune Center and lots of other stuff, and Extreme Mac, when they ever ship their new product. It's called Tango from Extreme Mac. It's an hi-fi killer, as they call it, and we were supposed to hear about that today, but I guess maybe next week, right, Scott?
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully next week. We'll see.
So that's stuff from the iPod generation, and a lot more stuff next week when I'll be in studio with Scott and Brad.
Cool.
Excellent stuff there. Hey, Sammy, thank you so much. That was Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. And like I said, if you want to get one of these iFroggies, you need to email us with the subject line of iFrog to radio@insidemac.com. 10th emailer gets a freebie. Sammy, thank you so much.
Got it.
There you go, Sam Levin. Check it out, www.insidemacradio.com. Next up here, Dan Steinhardt from Epson of America. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present The Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by FirmTech, the official storage provider of the Inside Mac radio program. This is true backplane interconnect SATA storage for your Macintosh. You can have Express 34 card for your MacBook Pro, a typical interface card for a PowerBook, G4s, G5s, Mac Pros, you name it, different cool enclosures. Really cool stuff, everything written in-house, all done real good quality product. Check them out over at FirmTech. That's F-I-R-M-T-E-K, FirmTech.com. Right now we're here with Dan Steinhardt from Epson of America. Dan, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good this morning. How about you, Scott?
Very good. Thank you so much. You guys just got back from Photokina. That was the big monster biannual, or every 2 years, show in Cologne, Germany. You introduced a brand new printer.
Yes, we introduced the Epson Stylus Pro 3800, and this is a 17-inch printer. But unlike the 17-inch printer that we've had out there before, most people are astonished at how small it is. It looks like a slightly larger 2400, and others described it as a sleek stereo component that they would love to just have as a piece of furniture.
Now, this replaces the 4800, correct?
It does not replace the 4800. The 4800 will remain in the line, and it's there because it's a highly productive machine, and for those that are especially graphic designers and those using rolls, the 4800, because of the 220-milliliter cartridges, are a good solution for big shops and certain creative professionals who have high volume. The 3800 is an ideal printer for photographers and other creative professionals who are working primarily with cut sheet.
Yep.
And are looking for both productivity in that it is faster on a print-per-print basis, depending on your settings, than the 4800, and the image quality is just that much better.
Really? So it's actually better quality than the 4800?
Well, what's interesting, and it's going to be file-dependent, and it's also going to be somewhat dependent, as this technology has evolved, it's now at a point where the technology does not get in the way of the photographers, the graphic designers, the creative professionals' intent. How good they are in Photoshop and managing their files, no longer will our printers get in the way of that. And what's very interesting about this 3800 is a new screening algorithm was used. And without getting too technical, some manufacturers use what's known as stochastic printing, and many people know that from the printing industry, which was a random way of placing dots down to hide digital artifacts and the nature of putting dots down. Our stuff was always so good that we moved to a more sophisticated method called air diffusion. And now with the 3800, because of its new paper feed mechanism, which reduces friction as the paper is pulled through the printer, a supercomputer was used to calculate a screening algorithm that lays down dots in even more precise manners.
Wow.
Well, actually, you know, a couple questions. I mean, this what's really interesting about this printer is this is the first time when you when back with the 2400, if you wanted to print black and white, you had to, you know, take out all of your cartridges, color cartridges, and stick in your black and white ink and flush all your color ink out the door, down the drain, and then put your black and white in. And then you wanted to go back to color, you had to flush all that ink that was in the printer out, flush it, and then put the color cartridges back in, causing a lot of wasted ink. This printer can do both of them.
Well, just to clarify a couple things, with the 2400 and the previous K3 printers like the 48 and even the big ones like the 78, 98, the only cartridge you had to replace when you were doing black and white imaging was either the photo black or the matte black. You know, this is a technology that Epson invented because we have found, and now others in the industry are taking our lead, that in order to get the maximum quality on a matte paper, it requires a different type of black ink than on a glossy paper. So with our advanced black and white mode, which has the advantage of using some of the color inks, which then gives the photographer, the creative professional, the ability to do tonal control, sepia at will, in previous models you had to take out the matte black to replace it with the photo black or the photo
right.
black with the matte black, not
yeah.
all the other colors.
But you would lose ink in that process.
And you would definitely lose ink as we had to purge those lines so those two inks didn't mix and merge. With the 3800, we have an auto-switching technology. And not only will this do this automatically, but it actually purges a very tiny amount of ink that then goes into a maintenance tank that is located on the right side of the printer. You know, it kind of raises an interesting question a lot of people ask. So what's the difference between a stylus photo printer and a stylus pro printer, like the 2400 is a photo printer? The pro printers are handmade. They're built to more exacting tolerances for high productivity, and they have maintenance tanks. With the 2400, if you use it over and over, I mean, we're talking in the thousands of prints, there's actually sponges in there that absorb excess ink from swapping, like we were talking about, from doing border-free, and then those printers have to go in for maintenance. With the 3800, there's actually a replaceable maintenance tank that slides in and slides out, and you're printing away. I was one of two beta, I should say alpha testers on this unit, and it was very interesting as we were testing out the auto switching. It is so quiet, so effortless, and so quick, you don't even know it's happening. So it's impossible to make a mistake, which was one of the other things that people talked about with the previous models. They would accidentally set the wrong paper motor, had difficulty finding the right paper in the driver when the ink was being swapped.
I think this is cool too, Dan. You know, it's got Ethernet too.
Yeah, you know, the Ethernet card, which is available for, you know, the previous printers in a current line, you know, 4800, 7800, 9800, those are $300 individual SKUs, and you'd have to open up the back of the printer and install it. The 3800 comes standard with USB 2.0 and Ethernet, just based on the feedback that we're getting from the industry. And if you take a look at, you know, this entire package, the image quality can do, the increase in speed times and the built-in Ethernet, it's pretty remarkable. And this is one of the takeaways from many people that came to Photokina, is to see that this is priced at $1,295.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's fantastic. Now, as I understood, this is not a gloss printer. This is for matte printing primarily, because there's another printer that actually is gloss. So if you're doing gloss work, you would still need the gloss type Epson printer. But this is primarily just for matte type printing, right?
Well, many people love the Ultrachrome K3 inks for glossy paper as well as photographic papers like premium luster, premium semi-gloss. So it definitely can do excellent glossy as well as matte and working on fine art papers. There is another printer that you may be referencing that is designed for those that are purely doing glossy printing, and it uses the Ultrachrome K3 technology, but it's also known as Ultrachrome High Gloss because it has a gloss optimizer in order to get the maximum glossiness.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, that's the one. That's the ultimate gloss print. But this is the ultimate matte for like photography, for digital still, and you know, now you can switch between the two of them. I mean,
that would be a separate printer. You cannot put the gloss optimizer.
Oh no, what I meant is that you can switch between the black and white and the colors. Is what we're
exactly?
Talking about. Yeah.
But you know, more and more as these products are out there, the feedback we're getting is that most are not only satisfied, but they're just thrilled and delighted with what they can do glossy just with Ultrachrome K3 through the 3800.
Yeah, it is beautiful stuff. Now, also announced at Photokina, and of course, we can see all this cool stuff at Photo Plus Expo East coming up here November 2nd. We'll be there. Cool stuff. You can check that out. But you announced your brand new photo viewers, the P3000, the P5000.
These are fascinating products. There was the P2000 and the P4000 most recently. And while in many ways it went into the more consumer, prosumer market, creative professionals and other types of professional photographers were amazed at the image quality. Now, the predecessor, the 2000, the 4000, that was on sRGB. These new viewers are in Adobe RGB and can reproduce most of the Adobe RGB space. So the image quality is incredible. The other thing that is a big one, especially for those using these in any type of workflow, is they are 2.5 times faster downloading. And, you know, with so many 10, 12 megapixel digital SLR cameras out there and people shooting in RAW, you know, popping an 8 gig card in the predecessor, it was put the card in and let's go to lunch. I'd be amazed at how quickly these now download these RAW files. And both of these viewers can deal with and accept all the leading RAW file formats. There are a few RAW file formats, because we get this question, that it does not do, but the popular ones it can read. And the other thing is, what is the difference between the two? The image quality is exactly the same. The 3000 has a 40 gig hard drive, and the 5000 has an 80 gig hard drive.
Excellent. Very cool there. Dan, we're coming to a break. We hold on. When we come back, I want to talk about the Print Academy.
Okay.
There we go. We're here with Dan Steinhardt from Epson America, and they got a bunch of cool new stuff going on. You can check out everything they're up to over at Epson.com. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, the place to get everything current, up to date, cool, what's going on in the world of photography, especially digital imaging. They got a brand new website. You can go over to popphoto.com. We're here with Dan Steinhardt from Epson. We've been talking about the brand new Stylus Pro 3800 that is just crazy cool. You'll be able to see this at Photo Plus if you want to see it in real life.
Yeah.
New York City here in a few weeks. And then the brand new photo viewers that are just way cool. And they do other things too, besides, you know, you can do more things than just looking at photos. Don't they play movies and audio and all kinds of stuff?
They certainly can play audio in some movies, but one of the really cool features that is not well known amongst photographers that I use personally is you can use it as almost a portable slide projector and plug into your television. So if you're a photographer on location, you can use your motel, hotel room's TV as a way to edit photos.
Wow, that's cool stuff.
That's cool, yeah.
And these are available pretty soon or now?
I don't have the exact shipping time, but
pretty
very
soon. Soon enough.
Yep.
Put your order in today.
For they're all gone.
Okay. Epson Print Academy. You guys have changed some things around. You relaunched it October 28th in Phoenix. Tell us about this.
The Epson Print Academy, I believe, as many people know, has been very successful and has two tracks. A track one for advanced amateur photographers who really want to learn how to get great prints from digital SLRs and to learn how the pros do it. And then the track two program, which is really put together with myself and a bunch of professional photographers for professionals exclusively. The Track 1 program is going to be hosted by Jack Resnicki, a well-known commercial photographer based in New York City and author, writer. And then the Track 2 program is a faculty of people where we have 3 to 5 of any one of these guys, which will be Jeff Shealy, Greg Gorman, Mac Holbert, John Paul Caponegro, Bruce Frazier, and when Bruce isn't available, Andrew Rodney.
Wow, all-star lineup there.
We're very fortunate to be collaborating with some of the best in the business. And, you know, this is one of the things about Epson. We're an engineering company, but what makes us better is this collaboration we have with the world's finest photographers and creative professionals, both on product development as well as on education and how we can be a part of the community to make this whole thing better for everybody.
Now, Dana, with the Print Academy, okay, and even some of these other printers, let's say I'm not a professional photographer or a super pro amateur guy, and I'm just at home and I'm doing scrapbooking. Doesn't this stuff apply at the Print Academy if you're doing scrapbooking and even other things? As long as you're printing stuff, you're going to learn a bunch of cool tips to print out great images.
Well, definitely talking about the Track 1 program. And
right.
While some of this content is definitely geared for the advanced amateur who really has a digital SLR that wants to learn new techniques and some insider stuff, it's not so overwhelming that it'll be a frustrating experience. So a photo enthusiast, a hobbyist, even if some of the material is hard to comprehend, you're going to come away with some tips and techniques that are going to really improve your printing at a very reasonable price. You know, the value of these programs, it's designed out there so that people have a great experience.
Right, and what's the cost to go to the Level 1 Print Academy?
The Track 1 program has an early bird discount that if you sign up 3 days before at our website, it's $49.95, and it includes lunch.
Wow.
And all the information about the Print Academy can be found at www.epsonprintacademy.com. And also, happy to let everyone know that we will be printing to the new 3800 in both the Track 1 and the Track 2 programs. We'll have those new photo viewers there. And another thing that will be there, it wasn't announced at Photokina, but there seems to be a growing interest demand with digital projectors.
Oh, that's good stuff. Now, Dano, where do we find out more information? I got about 30 seconds left here. How do we get more information on all the cool new stuff?
All the cool new stuff can be found at our website, Epson.com, which is the worldwide site. Just click on North America, and that'll take you right to all the U.S. offerings. And, of course, you can go to EpsonPrintAcademy.com, where several of these products will also be featured, and there's information about both of these programs.
Yep, cool stuff. Dano, thank you so much. We will see you guys in New York City at Photo Plus, and we'll probably be at some of these Print Academies. So we'll be bringing you lots of cool coverage and all the great stuff going on with Epson. Dan, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. See you in New York.
There you go. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program, heard worldwide on the web at iTunes, or you can hear it on our flagship station in San Francisco, KNTS 1220 AM, over at their website at knts1220am.com. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and the lovely and talented Dino Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. And this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by American Photo. American Photo Magazine, the place to go for your high-end and very exquisite photography needs. You can check them out at americanphoto.com, or you can slide on over to Pop Photo, a sister site companion to American Photo. Dina, you have some cool news coming up later in the hour. What's cooking?
Thanks, Scott. Analysts expect Hollywood studios to offer movies on iTunes. Find out why retailers are slowing down that process. Coming soon on the Inside Mac Minute headline news.
Yeah, they don't want to wind up like Tower Records.
Yeah.
Poor Tower.
You know something? We'll talk about Tower. We could talk about Tower right now, okay?
Yeah.
I used to love Tower Records.
Remember the posters? Do you remember those calendars with all the slicky airbrushing art, and they were like really tall, rectangular? And you stared at them for like all year, you know, and just like that whole image was just on your wall. It's all gone now. It's gone.
You know, it's interesting, and I don't think that, and I know for a fact that iTunes and this digital stuff didn't kill Tower. You know what killed Tower? Was Walmart.
Best Buy, Target, all those guys.
Everybody else wanting to sell tunes.
Yeah.
You used to be able to go, and here's the problem, okay? This is what really is a bummer, dude. Okay, unless you go to a specialty shop, and there's some great places in San Francisco to buy tunes. But if you're in other places where Tower Record was that was it, man, okay?
Yeah.
Dude, you go to Kmart, Walmart, Best Buy, Chicken Hawk, I don't care where you go, okay? They got the top 20 songs. and that's it.
Yeah, Britney Spears and whoever
if
else.
If I wanted something obscure and I wanted to go pick up, you know, whatever, I could go to Tower Records if Cats had it.
Yeah.
I paid full pop and I got it.
Yeah.
But I walked out of the door with product in hand.
Yep.
See what happens?
Yeah, maybe, you know, I think iTunes has done a good job of recreating that music store experience, so I think it's quite nice that you can get that.
Oh, no, I love it now. I have not bought a physical CD in a long time.
Yeah, but it was definitely that, you know, once the big retailers started selling music, music became an impersonal thing. I mean, it used to be like, you know, when you're young, I mean, you could identify who you were by the music you had, you know, the music you owned. It was like you, I'm, you know, blah, 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 X groups, you know.
Talking about it earlier, you know, you could go down and I wanted to get the new Aldo Nova.
I want the Aldo Nova?
Yeah,
I was
like, cassette, okay?
Life is so sweet. Die for the sea.
And, you know, you can't do that now.
Yeah.
Because Tower's gone.
Yeah.
Tower was
so is Aldo Nova, too.
Well,
I think.
Yeah, but Aldo Nova rocked, dude, okay? Aldo Nova's never dead.
Yeah. He might still be alive. He's probably playing at some county fair somewhere.
Did you see who was on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday? Def Leppard.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, dude.
Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah. They were in concert last summer. They did a whole thing. They went to San Jose Municipal Stadium,
whoa,
which is a giant single-A baseball.
No, they're like, pour some X-Lax on me.
You know, it's amazing, though. You know, it's a trip, and you remember these big, huge bands that used to play stadiums, and now they're playing like the Frank G. Bonelli Regional Park Municipal Stadium back in the corner.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, $6. Cool, dude. Stadium festival seating. Bummer.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Not used to.
But now look at the value you can get. You can go see Def Leppards at like, you know, get front row. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. It's
I
awesome.
Pick up a steak and
yeah, there you go.
Listen to some Def at the same time.
That's it.
Oh, well. You know, later in the show, we got some cool stuff
going on. Oh, that was the Aldo Nova intro.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Woo! Get the lighters out, dude.
Yeah.
Next up, Ronnie James Dio. Whoa.
Yeah.
You're listening to Inside Mac Radio program coming to you live on KNTS 1220, our flagship station in beautiful San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. Next up, we're going to have more cool stuff about your Macintosh. We have a secret topic that we're not going to tell you until you come back, so don't go away and you'll find out. Everything cool on Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. The place to get all the information for your Macintosh.
And Ronnie James Dio.
That's it. Cool music, too. Coming to you on 1220 AM in beautiful San Francisco Bay Area. This part of the Inside Mac Radio program is brought to you by our friends over at Creative Pro. If you're a creative professional or even someone that's just getting into Photoshop or, you know, Illustrator, wanting to draw some designs, even if you're doing scrapbooking and you want to learn some cool tips on how to make some better stuff so you can print out some neat things or whatever you want to do, check it out over at creativepro.com. So a ton of stuff going on this week in the news, you know.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
You were down a couple weeks ago,
And
went to a presentation from the Batman dude.
Oh, you know, this was the most amazing thing. I mean, I think if you pay attention to films lately, or you're into films, you have to know about Christopher Nolan. And if you saw the movie Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan was the director and also wrote the script basically the screenplay for the movie, and he has a style for directing, which I think just transformed the entire Batman genre and just reinvigorated it and made it something that was just contemporary and just awesome. Well, he got his start making a film for about $11,000. He did this while he was still living in England. And this film was what they were showing down in Hollywood, and that's what I went to go see. Because Christopher Nolan came out, and he talked about his film, and he talked about you know, the whole process of making this thing for $11,000, you know, with 16mm black and white film. And he shot it on weekends because he was still working on his regular job. And this film is amazing. It's called Following, and if you can find it on DVD, it's really worth checking out. But I think the most surprising and the funniest aspect of it is that Christopher Nolan really is like the Batman character in Christian Bale. I mean, he really is Batman. You expect him, like, you know, Michael, you know, Caine to be following him around. You know, I thought, you know, it'd be like, you know, his little butler and everything. But he really is that character. He's just that sort of just intense, you know, and intimidating kind of character. But he really is awesome, awesome director. It was really, really quite incredible. The place was packed. It was filled with, I think, filmmakers primarily, because everybody was trying to chuck a DVD at Christopher Nolan as he came out. Like, take my movie, and all this stuff. But it was quite cool. I mean, amazing presentation, amazing guy. And if you can put together a movie that's that good for $11,000, you know, you can do some amazing stuff with a big budget film. And I think he's proven that.
Well, doesn't he have a brand new gig coming out here?
The movie called The Prestige, and they did a little trailer of that. And yeah, it looks good too as well. I mean, I think this guy just has a gift for making suspenseful, intense movies. I mean, he's just really, you know, for $11,000, watching this little black and white film that was shot really with handheld cameras. I mean, what's amazing about this is that, you know, he got these actors. He had no budget to make this film. He found these actors in England, people that he knew, and they rehearsed it for 6 months. And every single shot in the film is a first take. There is, like, no second takes. He didn't have any money for
a second
take.
That's what you do when you don't got enough film.
He just hit first takes.
You got one shot,
brother. Okay, go. Because, I mean, it was like six. It was like a play playing out. They rehearsed for like 6 months to this film. And it's like, whoa. I mean, you can't believe. And all of the equipment, the sound, the lighting, and the actors could all fit in a taxi cab.
Wow.
It was like five people, to make this film.
That's how you're supposed to do it. That rocks.
Well, it shows that, and that movie was better than, like, I could say 15 or 20 or maybe 100 other movies that came out this summer, you know, or maybe most of the major pictures. I mean, even Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, or all these big budget films. I mean, this film blew it away, and it was made for $11,000. I mean, it was fantastic. Really, really good.
Wow.
And of course, you know, Christopher Nolan sat around and asked questions and how he did it and talked about the process and everything. I mean, this film was good enough to get him $5 million for his next movie.
Yeah, that's cool. I still want an Arri Flex 416.
Yeah, well, wait till you see what's coming down the pipeline. I don't think you'll want to.
I mean, the red stuff's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I think that Arri Flex 16 is, what, 40K? 50K for that camera?
Oh, yeah. And plus film stock and print and everything. I don't think anybody in their right mind would really want to go back to film after they could see what you could do, you know, with what's coming down the pipe.
Yeah, but, you know, with all the stuff coming down the pipe and Ted Schiller, which is my buddy personally, this other stuff, are they going to have the high dynamic range you're going to get with film?
Well, you know, that was an interesting point because one of the things
you can get sample movies now, 1K resolution of the whole Mysterium chip and all the stuff at red.com.
Yeah. Yep.
But is it going to have the high dynamic range of film?
Well, it's basically the same range.
You can do it now in Photoshop with digital photography.
It's about, if you have a digital camera, it's exactly the same dynamic range as a digital camera. Exactly.
So it's better, their dynamic range, because of the sensor they're using
raw.
And their raw software.
Yeah, if you're shooting raw.
And I think they call it Red Raw or Raw Red or something.
Red Raw.
Red Raw.
Red Raw.
Red
Raw.
Red
Raw.
That was a freaky movie. You get this high dynamic range. And now Kevin Ames, a friend of ours, our digital correspondent for Inside Mac, did a class at Photoshop World that I sat in for a few minutes that was using high dynamic range, because when you do shoot raw, there's things going on that most people never see.
Yeah.
And there's a way to go into Photoshop and pull out this high dynamic range editing. And he actually took a picture of a hotel room at his hotel when he was in Vegas, okay? And it was dark. You couldn't hardly sell. It looked like a black, rotten picture. And by going through the stuff in Photoshop, he was able to pull out all this data
Yeah.
The picture looks like the room was lit with professional lighting when
they
it was done.
You can see all the cockroaches scurrying around and everything, right?
Yeah. Don't get out the black light. But no, really, about this high dynamic range. Yeah. So I guess they're going to have a deal, but I don't know. Film is just, there's something with film.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, I think that...
You know, there's a service now that you can shoot on 8mm. It's mm-hmm. cheap. Costs nothing, right?
Yeah, and yeah.
They'll actually scan your 8mm images mm-hmm. in high def, mm-hmm. I guess, or whatever the highest resolution they can get off whatever is on an 8mm frame for film.
Yeah.
And I guess it creates pretty crazy quality stuff when you digitize this. They have some kind of, you know, film scanner.
Process, yeah.
Process, and they're putting stuff on. They're charging $100 for an 8mm spool.
Yeah.
For full high def digitization of it.
Yeah. So the grain is like the size of, you know, of like a foot, you know? It's a grain. It's just like, you know, just huge pieces of grain in there.
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, I think it's, I think that the thing about it is that film might eventually still be better, but the fact is that it'll be so cheap to get film-like quality that, you know, producers, the people that actually put money into a film are going to say, no, you're going to shoot digital, dude. We're not going to pay for all that film processing and everything, you know. But then again, you know...
Well, look at the things that Spielberg came out with. Was it Spielberg or... No, Lucas. Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Lucas, okay?
Yeah.
He's like, okay, we got a minute left. We'll make this quick, but... you know, he spends 50, 60, 70 million clams on one movie.
Yeah.
He thinks the future is, dude,
low
forget
budget?
That.
Low
forget budget. That. He goes, spend $1 million. I can make 50 movies, 2 hours long
yeah.
for $1 million
uh-huh.
and throw it up on YouTube and it'll rock.
Oh, yeah.
Or sell it at Apple for $9.
Yeah. It comes down to content. You know, I mean, it really comes down to story and content. You know, if you don't have the story and the content, you really shouldn't be doing, you know, anything with the camera. You know,
but you know, here's another question about this and about people doing independence and all this other thing. You know, people are so used to this Hollywood super high-end effects and processing and stuff. Mm-hmm. If they go back to filmmaking the way it was in, let's say, the 50s,
yeah,
are they going to like it?
I don't know.
Well, that's a question for you to ponder. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, Dean Orlando with the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Roundup of the Week. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California, is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Oh, slow ride.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright, and Dean Orlando. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Mac Update, the place to get all the software updates for your Macintosh. Right now, you're going to be with Dean Orlando. We're doing the Inside Mac Minute Daily News Roundup of the Week. Hello, Dean. How are you?
I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks. In an effort to fight AIDS in Africa, Apple teamed up with U2 lead singer Bono and released the Red 4GB iPod Nano. The new Nano is one of many product Red items that will go on sale. Other companies that are involved include Gap, Motorola, Converse, and Armani. A portion of the profits from these products goes directly to the Global Fund to help programs for women and children affected by HIV/AIDS. The new addition to the 4GB Nano line comes in a red aluminum enclosure and is priced at $199. Apple will contribute $10 from the sale of each red iPod Nano to the Global Fund. In addition, Apple will offer a $25 iTunes product red gift card that will be available for purchase at Apple's retail and online stores next month. So far, the Product Red initiative has raised more than $12 million for African AIDS programs, and the Global Fund stands to raise millions more with Apple's iPod alone. Bono said, "We've moved from the philanthropy budgets to the marketing budgets. We now have some of the most creative people in commerce. Steve Jobs, the marketing people at Gap and Motorola, all working for the world's poor. Bob Dylan's new album, Modern Times, topped the charts this week, and it's been a long time coming since the last time a Dylan album topped the charts was in 1976. He may have Apple to thank for the album's popularity. When Dylan's new album was released in late August, he starred in a TV ad for iTunes and iPod, which introduced him to a younger demographic. The iTunes commercial made Dylan seem younger, cooler, and more progressive. Apple, of course, enjoyed the benefits of driving traffic to iTunes, but Apple, who is a leader in legal downloading, doesn't need much help, especially given the deep connections it has with its consumers. According to Brad Fay, the chief operating officer of the Keller Fay Group, Apple is part of a new series of iconic brands that are themselves celebrities. He said these brands have become a conversation currency, a social currency, and a natural part of human interactions. Celebrities are learning that they are gaining more from popular brands such as Apple than vice versa. As Mr. Fay explains, in a world where you can't rely on water cooler chatter because not everyone saw the same TV show the night before, brands are now the shared experience instead of media. PBS added shows to iTunes this week. U.S. iTunes users can download shows including Antiques Roadshow, Nova, Now, Scientific American Frontiers, as well as PBS Kids programs, which include Arthur and Cyber Chase. PBS and CEO Paula Kerger said the remarkable success of PBS podcasts on iTunes over the past year indicates that PBS members and viewers of all ages are enjoying the new, expanded access to the content they want, when and where they choose. With the PBS edition, iTunes now has over 220 television shows from over 40 networks. iTunes boasts over 220 television shows, analysts are expecting its movie service to grow also, but after the holidays. Piper Jaffray analyst Gene Munster said that recent meetings with four of the six major film studios have revealed that they likely won't be adding their movies to iTunes before the holidays because they fear retaliation by big retailers. Meanwhile, Walmart and Target are worried about the potential impact iTunes will have on their DVD sales. It is possible that retailers will shift focus to other products if DVDs become less profitable due to lower-priced online competition. Studios refer to this as retaliation and are concerned that this could significantly disrupt current business models in a DVD market.
Whiners.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Angus will fix them.
Well, coming up, the men in white made one double amputee very happy when the Inside Mac Minute headline news continues.
When it comes to product development and the strategic direction of your business, not everyone can offer you a crystal ball. At the industry measure, formerly Trendwatch Graphic Arts, we're not clairvoyant, but soon it may seem that way to you. With extensive market surveys in the field at least six times a year, the industry measure delivers you reliable, projectable market data that makes growing your business seem magical. Digital printing, variable data printing, employee retention, overseas outsourcing, new media, investment projections in the creative, printing, internet, and publishing markets. The industry measure reports the variables that ensure your business never becomes a vanishing act. We measure the information you need in a wide variety of market reports, atlases, special and mini reports, on time and on budget. Hocus pocus? No, just focus. Visit theindustrymeasure.com, your industry data resource. The Industry Measure.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printers of the Inside Mac radio program for true ink on paper, real printers. Check them out. You can send them any kind of file from any kind of computer, and these guys will print it up, and it will come nice and happy and shiny and beautiful. You can check them out at printingforless.com. We're here with Dina Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News, and she has our Week in Review Roundup. Continue on, Dina.
Thanks, Scott. The strong demand for Mac systems can bump Apple's fourth quarter earnings. According to research firm UBS, the ongoing Mac momentum should continue into year-end, given new products, and the fact that Vista has been delayed certainly helps. UBS holds the price target of $92 on Apple shares, maintaining its buy rating. For fiscal year 2007, UBS estimates $2.70 based on 21% year-over-year revenue growth to $23.1 billion, above Wall Street's consensus of $22.9 billion. With iPod sales of 50.2 million versus 52.8 million, UBS maintains its earnings per share estimates due to higher margins for Macs and software. The firm holds its target based on 30 times its 2008 estimate above its peers in PCs due to much faster growth and higher margins. The analysts feel that strong Mac sales will help bridge the gap between now and new products next year, starting with Macworld on January 8th, stating, "We believe that Apple has many new products in the pipeline set to hit through the first half of 2007, which should drive a reacceleration of revenue growth." Digital music sales are on the rise as sales in the first half of 2006 rose 106% to $945 million. According to Music Industry Association, the IFPI, globally, digital sales now account for 11% of the total recorded music market worldwide, which is up from 5.5% in December of 2005. In the U.S. alone, digital music sales climbed 84% in the first 6 months of 2006. The explosion of digital music services has seen online and mobile services mobile music sales grow from $134 million in the first half of 2004 to $945 million in the first half of 2006. And of course, when one goes up, the other goes down. Physical music sales have declined in the first half period, down by 10% worldwide. This led to total music sales falling by 4% in the period to $8.4 billion in trade values. And lastly today, a young man has found a way to give his life a little bling. Former forklift driver Ian Colquhoun was attacked one day when robbers entered into the house, beat the 28-year-old, torched the living room, and left him for dead. The bad news doesn't stop there. While he was unconscious in a hospital bed, he caught a rare strain of the MRSA superbug, and the infection made him a double amputee. While he waited for his artificial legs, he persuaded doctors to pimp his prosthesis, as he likes to call it. Ian has speakers, an iPod, flashing lights, and a pedometer fitted on one of his artificial legs. It doesn't stop there. He also has a burglar alarm fitted with the state-of-the-art limb. He can program the iPod to make a noise every time his foot hits the ground. Ian had replied to an advertisement for Channel 4 science program called Men in White, hosted by Jem Stanfield, Dr. Adam Rutherford, and Dr. Basil Singer. He emailed them asking if they'd like to jazz up his leg and got an immediate answer. The doctor spent 12 hours creating the perfect leg. Singer said, "We felt Ian had given us a great challenge, and we had fun thinking about all the technology we could include." And Ian said, "If jazzing up my leg gives just one young amputee a giggle, I will be very happy." And that's it for this week, guys.
That was awesome. Cool. Killer. Yeah. Awesome. Great news. Good to hear a happy story at the end of it.
Exactly. That's poor guy.
It's always happy to be happy. I'm happy that we're
happy. I'm happy you're happy.
Yes,
we're all happy.
You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Les Perkins on talking about some cool Hollywood goodies. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know where you want to go. The challenge is getting there. That's why AGFA has developed innovative solutions that address your current needs while preparing your business of the future. Our chemistry-free CTP is one example. Effortless workflow software and high-productivity inkjet printing are others. We develop technology with your goals in mind, because our goal is to help you arrive at your destination efficiently and profitably. Stay ahead with AGFA. Visit AGFA.com for more info.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want all the cool tips for your Macintosh, great Unix goodies, you name it, anything you need, anything for the Mac, check it out over at osxfaq.com. We're joined right now by Les Perkins,
the genius behind probably some of the DVDs, the best DVDs you have in your collection right now.
Very true.
It's probably made by this man right here.
Well, thanks a lot. I think I better just, you know, say, okay, thanks. It's been great talking to you. See you later.
We're introducing the guy that behind the scenes.
Well, listen, you know, it's a big teamwork. There's an awful lot of producers and some very talented people in town who work on DVD bonus material. But I do like to think that my stuff is certainly among the better quality material.
Yeah. Now we can't talk about all of the DVDs that you've made, but if you guys are so inclined, you can go to Les's website at his production company is www.lesismoreproductions.com, and you can see you'll find that you just count them out. You'll probably have 10 or 20 of these DVDs in your collection that he's done.
Well, I've certainly been very, very blessed. I mean, I made the decision about 5, 6, 7 years ago that this is where I wanted to go, and DVD was just increasing at that time, and so I was kind of like the right place at the right time.
Now, you started out as an editor for the Mouse House.
Well, I was on staff at Disney for actually 20 years and did a variety of things, and I left 10 years ago, and when I left, video editing and stuff had always been a hobby and had been sort of a sideline and related to what I did in my job, but it wasn't my primary work. And so I decided, well, this is where I wanted to go, and just kind of set my career path. At that time, my real goal was to do biographies on cable. You know, A&E was doing all these biography shows, and I said, I want to do that, or the film history programs, you know, where they were talking about things that went on in the studios. It never quite happened, but I did fall into, I did a short series of interstitials for Disney Channel, and then I hooked up with some people who I'd known from my previous connection with Disney, who had a production company, and they had been doing Laserdisc bonus material, and they grew out and expanded then, of course, doing kind of the same thing for DVDs, and that's kind of what started. And one of my first big projects was Sleeping Beauty, which was one of my all-time favorite Disney movies, and started out, did audio commentary on that, and did some other material for it, too.
And of course, Philip Hodgetts helped you out with the Mary Poppins DVD.
Yes, yeah. Now that one I'm proud of. I did an awful lot of stuff on the Mary Poppins DVD. The main documentary, the hour documentary, was done by another production company, EVC, a guy named Barbara, who was working with Disney and had that part of the assignment. But I did a lot of the other stuff on there too, and I also helped out Barbara working with her production company and doing research, and I found all this really cool film footage, and that was the advantage of having worked at Disney for so many years. I knew kind of where some of the skeletons were buried that Disney didn't even know, you know, and I kind of knew how to do research into the film vaults and dig out stuff, and so that was really cool, because I found stuff the studio didn't even know they had.
Yeah.
What kind of work did you do? I mean, I'm looking at your website now, and it's just amazing on all the ones you've worked on. Now, you did a lot on the Mary Poppins stuff.
Yeah.
What about Cinderella?
Didn't do too much in that. There's a couple. One of my specialties is music, and so I get to do a lot of the deleted songs or outtake things. There's both in Cinderella as well as in Alice in Wonderland. There were digging around the vaults. There were some material that we found that were songs written for the film. We found some demo tracks that were recorded at the time, but nothing ever came of them. So we did little bonus features about finding artwork that was originally planned. Because, of course, at Disney, they plan everything in a storyboard first, and so you can always tell how far something got along, you know, in progress is by how much the storyboarding was done, because that was like the last step before actual either photography or animation. And so we could put together story sketches, which were the concepts for the people to develop the ideas, and so if we had an audio track to go with it, then we could marry the two for the first time. Lady and the Tramp came out earlier this year. There we didn't have any audio tracks. They'd actually said, Les, if anybody's going to find the audio, it's going to be you. And I didn't, you know. But I did find a lot of other cool stuff. I even found stuff that wasn't even at the studio. It's part of the advantage of being around with other collectors.
Now, you actually had heard that on the Mary Poppins disc, and this is something you told me, is that there is a one of the problems with some of these older prints is the fact is that they aren't color corrected properly. But you were actually able to find over at the Academy Awards, the Film Academy, a Technicolor trailer for Mary Poppins, which was still original Technicolor negative.
Yeah. Although that happened actually after, unfortunately.
After the DVD came out.
Yeah, it came out after the DVD. It was a color reference because the studio, and I just found this out recently, the studio just doesn't really have any original color material left from 1964 that becomes a real reference. And the dyes, I experienced this recently. There was a 3D film festival here in Los Angeles, and they were screening a lot of stuff from the 50s, and they were making up new prints and doing restorations for that. And one of the things that was pointed out was, well, 40 years ago, the arc, the lamp in the projector in the projection booth was a carbon-based arc, which has a bluer light. And so there was all these older films were color balanced, knowing that it was going to be projected with a little extra blue. So they would.
So that's why everything is sort of yellowy or slightly. Oh.
Yeah. So people don't make corrections for that. As a matter of fact, that's one of the problems recently. I know I was talking to somebody in film restoration on something they were working on, and their first trial went through was a little bit on the yellow side, and I didn't think about it at the time. I want to go back to them and say, hey, it's because, yeah, Technicolor had timed this particular film a little on the yellow because it's compensating for the blue light of the projector.
Wow.
That is fascinating. Cool. Oh, man. Now, all of your stuff is done on a Macintosh. I mean, you are a Mac. What are some of the tools that you use to create your magic?
Well, I started, actually, when I did my project for the Disney Channel a couple years ago, I had one thing I did was really under the gun and a very short deadline. So I rented an Avid system, because I was editing Avid at the time, brought it into the house, and that way I could edit, you know, day, night, and really, you know, cram through this. And as the guys were doing the installation, they said, you know, someday you're going to be able to do this editing on a laptop on the beach. And that was like, really? I can have this in my home? And it was really about a year or two after that. Well, then I started doing all this other stuff. I was working for a number of other production companies who were producing material for DVDs. There's a number of small producers around town. There are people like myself who's a one-person operation, and then I hire staff as needed. And then there's other people that just have enough volume that they've got a small staff. And I worked for some of these other people and then got to the point saying, the line for me was, I got tired of doing months worth of editing, getting all my cuts exactly as I wanted them, all the transitions the way I wanted them, and then going into an online house and watch some other editor, you know, have to take the time to reload all that stuff on an Avid and redo it, and then not being able to do it quite as well because the transitions weren't the same and there's other just technical problems that come up from all that nonsense. So that was the time I started exploring Final Cut, and Final Cut was just getting into Final Cut 3 at that point.
Wow.
Right around then. And so I looked into it, bought my own system, and boy, do I love it.
Now, all the stuff you're creating now, what do you use for DVD output? Or are you just creating the elements that they're using on the DVD and someone else does the encoding and creates the actual master?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Although I was for the 3D Film Festival that was here in Los Angeles, and that's www.3dfilmfest.com because they still have my DVDs available there. That was, DVD Studio Pro was at 1.5. This is about 3 years ago, and they'd asked me to put together a DVD of trailers for 3D movies. Now, there's a section on the disc that's in 3D, but most of the disc is you know, regular video. But it's the trailers for the movies that had come out. And the company asked me to do this, and I said, sure, I can. And of course, since by that time I'm doing DVD bonus material, I said, well, I can't just put a bunch of trailers on there. It's got to have bonus material. So, you know, I put in a still gallery, and I put all kinds of menus and text pages, and I created a trailer for the startup menu on the DVD and all of this stuff. Mastered it right here in my Macintosh. It was G4 at the time, took the DVD file. I mean, I did all the authoring and all the, and it was actually a very complicated program. And they took that to a DVD authoring house, and they duplicated that, and it went out. So there's where the Macintosh, and I was able to do all of it here except the replication.
Wow, very cool stuff.
We love Mac.
Yeah, Mac is great.
And that's something else. I do an awful lot of audio commentaries, which is something I did for the I did about 6 or 7 audio commentaries for 20th Century Fox. You mentioned Mary Poppins. My audio commentary got nominated for an award there. I did an audio commentary in the current Little Mermaid disc, just came out.
Sold about 4 million copies, by the way.
And I do that all here in the Mac. You know, before when I started, I was working on another production company, and they were all Avid based. And then I'd do all this cutting, and then they'd take into an online session for all the audio. And I do it all in Final Cut now, and I do it uncompressed, and just have all the audio files here.
Hey Les, we're coming to a break. Can you hold on with a minute? We'll come back and finish talking after we get back from this break here. You're here. We are talking about very cool DVD production with Les Perkins of Less Is More Productions. You can check him out at lessismoreproductions.com. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you a real estate agent? Then listen up. I've got something for you. NewHomePodcast.com. It's an exciting new way to reach an audience of home buyers that really understand technology and are fascinated with the new podcasts that are springing up everywhere. Now imagine having a dedicated, rabid audience that is in the market to buy or sell a home and wants every edge in getting the latest information. Maybe they're relocating to your area, maybe they're upgrading or downsizing, maybe they're first-time home buyers that are brand new to the process. Well, you can be their guide. And do so with professionally produced, up-to-the-minute podcasts that are delivered automatically to their computers and iPods. And that means sales for you. We make it simple. We do all the online setup, all the production, all the delivery of the podcast. All you have to do when you want to do an episode is make a phone call. Now, we do this on a zip code exclusive basis, and zip codes are going fast. So go to the website to see if your area is still available. It's newhomepodcast.com. That's newhomepodcast.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program, the place to get all the information about all the cool stuff going on in your world of Macintosh. We're here with Les Perkins talking about Less Is More Productions, the guy that does all the cool stuff on all kinds of DVDs that you probably have sitting on your shelf right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least your kids do, or if they don't, they want them.
Ah. Yeah, I think that's right. Just don't get them near a video store. You'll buy less of DVDs all over the place.
That's it. Now, Les, how do people find out more on what you're up to if they want to have some stuff done, production work, you know, anything you're doing, or they can actually go to your website and check out your very cool opening animation, if anything.
Yeah, I finally, you know, got into the web last year. I have been blessed. I really been having a lot of work come to me, but the website's there and kind of shows what I do. And I like to say I'm kind of a turnkey operation. Fun going to the Final Cut Pro users group meetings. You know, anybody shows any of their independent work, one of the first questions is, "What camera did you shoot it on?" You know, well, that's the one thing I don't do, is I write the check. You know, I hire a videographer and that's it. But I do all the other post work, and that's what I started to babble on about the audio commentaries, is that I do all my own mixing, and I do it right inside Final Cut. I don't have to step outside. Occasionally, I go for a cleanup program. I go into Peak with SoundSoap Pro, which is just awesome. But I do all the mixing right there in Final Cut. It's been great for that.
Really, yeah. You don't even use any. You don't use no Pro Tool stuff.
No. It's funny. When I was making the decision with the salesperson about Avid or Pro Tool, or excuse me, about Avid or Final Cut, and I kept saying, "Well, what about Pro Tools?" And they said, "When they finally said, well, you can't do Pro Tools on an Avid. It's really a Mac based." And I said, "Well, then forget it." And they said, "That's it." I said, "Yeah." You know, so that was how I fell into Final Cut, and then I've never used Pro Tools.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's quite good. You know, so it really you know we should have you back on and talk about some tips that, you know, that people can do to spruce up their own DVDs and things that they can do to make them better, because you obviously understand this a lot of this whole process.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is quite fun to go down to those Final Cut Pro user groups and just meet and see the kind of people that are down there. It's really amazing. Very good stuff.
Yeah, it's always great having you down there. You've always got interesting stuff going on with what you do.
Yeah.
All kinds of crazy stuff always going on. Hey, Les, thanks so much for joining us today. Your stuff is just really cool, and we'd love to have you back on talking about, you know, all the cool stuff you're up to.
I appreciate it. I've had a good time and always enjoy talking about what I like doing. I'm very blessed.
That is cool stuff. Les, thank you so much. There you go, Les Perkins. You can find out more information about what he's up to, and his website is Les, L-E-S, is more Productions, just as it sounds, but L-E-S instead of L-E-S-S.
Yes.
Less as in his first name.
Yes.
Lessismoreproductions.com, and there's some cool stuff there. There's demos, his portfolio. Pretty amazing stuff, really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. I mean,
yeah,
he
cool
does some killer stuff. He's also did some of the rides at Disneyland too, as well.
Really?
He did all of the Fantasyland dark rides. He actually redid all the audio work on them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Final Cut.
Well, it was before Final Cut existed. Okay. This is before Final Cut was. This was done in the 90s, I believe, early.
So 90s. He was cutting this on 3/4-inch tape with a blade.
Probably, yeah.
That's cool.
But actually, they were digitizing it. I'm not sure what he did with it, but yeah, he did a lot of work for Disney and still does.
Yeah, and A&E and Warner Brothers, and go look at his website.
Yeah.
Robin Hood.
Yeah. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
So we had a good show today.
Great show. I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac program. We had Micromat, DVD-XDV, MCE Technologies, Firm Tech, and our media partners, the Popular Photography and Imaging Magazine, American Photo, Creative Pro, Mac Update, Printing for Less, Digital Production Buzz, and OSX FAQ. And, of course, our guest today, we'd like to thank Dan Steinhardt, Dano from Epson America, talking about the cool, wicked, great stuff they got going on there. We had Dean Orlando, the host of the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program. And, of course, we just talked with Les Perkins, the Hollywood DVD producer extraordinaire. You've been here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright. Dina was here, and we got a bunch of cool stuff going. You can stay tuned for the Inside Mac Minute Daily News program every day on iTunes.
Yeah.
And, of course, here, Inside Mac Radio broadcast live every Saturday on our flagship station, AM 1220 KNTS in the San Francisco Bay Area. And, of course, you can hear it Sundays on KNTS from 9 to 11 p.m. So if you missed it today or part of it, you can tune back in or you can grab the download at iTunes. We'll be back next week with more cool stuff about your Mac.